Hello and welcome to another episode of Never a Straight Answer, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics, from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm Gaz, and in the studio as always, we've got the man who's titillated by terror.
I ain't scared of nothing.
He ain't scared of no ghosts. Got Mr. Taylor.
Hey, you alright, fella?
Yeah, man, I'm good. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good stuff. Not to mention, we've also got Mr. Mikey. Yeah.
You alright, boys?
How's it going, Mikey? We've not seen you for ages. What's going on?
I was here a week before last.
Week before last, yep. Yeah. That's fair enough. I'm like, you know.
At least I turn up.
Yeah, that's a good point. We were supposed to be joined by Mr. DC as well today, but I don't know where he's gone. He didn't make it. So yeah. I think it was that Storm Enid or whatever it's called this time round.
It looked a bit bad
when I opened the bunker door to you, so you know.
We've got Jay as well in the corner.
Also Jay, chillaxing as usual, like, you know.
And haircut today as well. Lucky, looking all smart and smart. You got a date or something?
I think that's what I was thinking that earlier.
Yeah, I think it's because Mike's here.
Well, yeah, welcome everybody, because today we kick off our March
for the
March of murder, murder in March.
Yes,
the double M's we've got coming out. And we're gonna go true crime all of the month of March.
Yeah.
And like I say, we're not gonna pull any punches. We're gonna go full throttle in with this.
Shitload of stabbing.
It's gonna be a hell of a kerfuffle in this episode. So so make sure you stick around for that. We've got some bits and news. We've just hit 15,000 downloads,
yes,
which I thought was pretty worth mentioning.
Yes, definitely.
I think it was about 15,300 summit when we checked last.
That was pretty cool.
And we've also joined a couple of new platforms as well.
Yes.
We've Podcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool if you like listening to podcasts and earning points, which make prizes.
Yeah.
And Podcoin's probably the one for you. I mean, I listen to podcasts anyway.
Yeah.
And if I can earn points while listening,
you can give it away as well when you collect all them.
Yeah,
points.
This is it. You don't have to collect them and use them for personal selfish reasons.
You don't have to be selfish.
You can actually give them away to charity, and that's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
So, get on it.
There's a few people out there a bit happier tonight.
Another funny thing that happened is we placed 32nd. In the Hungarian iTunes charts.
Oh, we're loving these Hungarian charts.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what the Hungarians are. They seem to check our jam. Anyway, they love our stuff.
Yeah,
so,
they do. We appreciate it.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome from Hungary.
And we placed 32, which is appropriate.
Yes.
Because it's our 32nd episode today. Because it's the month of murder, we're going in with a pretty horrific, dark one, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
And tonight we're going to be covering Fred and Rosemary West.
Yeah, the West brothers.
The West. you could say that because she's not exactly a looker, is she?
Oh no, she ain't definitely.
Well, it's funny though because she was a practicing prostitute for quite a while.
Yeah.
So obviously she was making some dough.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
I heard he was in Westlife for a few hours.
Well, he was chilling with Brian, what was it?
Yeah, he was just going on, and they just didn't want him anymore.
He went
off the rails.
No, and they kicked him out.
Yeah, they kicked him out, so he went on a rampage.
That's terrible, that is the worst joke I've heard all week.
But it's bad about, you've seen that picture with Fred Dean.
I have actually seen that.
It says the West Live underneath.
The West Live,
like, oh my days, that is just out of order.
Well, this is memes for you, innit?
Well, that's it. Gotta laugh or you're gonna cry, aren't you, really?
Well,
Especially with the shit we're gonna talk about tonight.
I know, yeah. It is pretty.
It's pretty horrific.
And this is gonna be a two-parter, I think. And the first part is gonna be kind of going over the House of Horrors itself.
Yeah.
And 25 Cromwell Street.
Yeah.
And then I think the next one's going to be more of a psychological profile. Why they did it.
The upbringing and all this kind of stuff.
So make sure you.
That's going to be even darker.
I think that is definitely going to be darker because it doesn't only go into all that. It goes into kind of a load more murders.
Yeah.
A load more bad murders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But tonight. we'll crack on with the show.
We will.
Have you got any news that you want to talk about this week?
Yeah, I have. I've got... have you heard this about this? It happened today, actually. About the US ambassador.
Ambassador, which is for Russia, you're really spoiling us.
Well, no, he's offering us... He's trying to basically tell us that the deal with Europe needs to be... done certainly in a way
in a
that they
way.
Can they can actually come in and do some.
No, what they want
with
to
the
do
farming and chickens and the
chickens
beef
and milk and beef and stuff. Right, yeah. Right. That's fair enough. Right, but is that from where's that coming from? From
the ambassador has asked it basically.
The ambassador from where?
From America.
Right. Okay. Right. So the ambassador from America.
Yeah.
Right.
Wants to do trade with us on the farming.
Well, that's fair enough. Cultural exchange.
There's problems with that, though.
Why is that?
Bleaching of chickens, the hormones in beef. There's all sorts of...
Hang about. I mean, America. So what, America are laying down health and safety guidelines with us?
No, we have to break... We have to slack our health and safety.
No. You don't do that. What you do is you bring up your American health and safety... Not even health and safety, food hygiene laws.
Yeah.
In line with everybody else, and then we'll start trading with you. I mean, I'm not being funny or anything, but at the end of the day, it's like if we provide a product that's safe for your consumers, then what?
Well, they're not going to buy shit.
Exactly.
Like, we're not going to buy shit.
Well, they seem to that they want us to you know.
Well, they're considering putting like labels on saying low grade meat and high grade meat. You know, those that have come from America that. Under our health and safety regulations are low grade, and that there may be potential health benefits or unbenefits. And then the beef that we have here, that or the chicken that states that like
but we've just done this whole thing about battery hens, and we don't do battery hens.
Apparently
we try not to. And you know, obviously there are companies that out there that still operate in a fucking medieval way. But.
Well, we had horse meat not that long
ago. I'm not even joking, right? I mean, there's a problem in the food industry overall, right? And it winds me up that people would rather... You see, I've got this whole theory about Alzheimer's, right? If you want to go down this road.
Now,
look at the old chaps who've got Alzheimer's, right? They were all raised eating nothing but just meat, right? And then all of a sudden all these health concerns come in.
Yeah.
Now, is it not plausible to think that Alzheimer's is a version of BSE,
BSE's cut
a slightly coming back. Wait a minute. It's like, you know, we've been eating meat that has been fed on over cattle, right?
Yeah.
For how many generations?
Genetically, that's fucked up.
For however many generations, right? And to think that didn't have any adverse effects on humans, is ridiculous.
If you died and I ate you, right, and I kept eating human meat, there will be genetic consequences for doing that.
It just reminded me of that Walking Dead thing, because I was talking about it recently, but you know, remember Terminus?
Been banned or something? Terminus. Something's got banned on that.
It was something like Cannibals.
Extra Walking Dead or something. It's been banned or
something. Oh, right, is that the Talking Dead?
It might be actually. Yeah,
I think that was because of the guy it was the guy who owned the Nerdist.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's Summit Harmon. I forget his name. He's been having a lot of problems. I don't know exactly the ins and outs of it, but I'm not sure why it'd be banned.
Yeah, I've seen that it'd be banned.
The guy's a bit arrogant, talks to his guests like kids.
Oh yeah.
What?
Sure.
That's so, Mikey's opinion.
Yeah,
so,
arrogant knob.
Fair enough. I don't know the guy, you know, but if he says he's an arrogant knob, then he must be an arrogant knob.
Do you want to have an argument with me, mate? Get in touch.
Okay.
Right,
It sounds like fight night on Friday.
Starting fights. Yeah. All right, cheers Mike. Get in there.
Calm down.
So you got something against Chris Hardwick then?
Yeah, fucking, I don't like the press.
Why, what the fuck?
I won't mind. Do you know what? I do get where you're coming from. I mean, the guy is quite arrogant, but the thing is, it's like, you know, I mean, unless you've done something really kind of outrageous, Why are you getting
some kind
cancelled?
Of megastar or something?
No, no, like I say, he's actually quite well off because like he created the website, The Nerdist.
Right.
And then sold it, made a shit ton of money, and now he just presents stuff. So, yeah. But I think, like I say, he's had some issues recently with like his fiance or something. Oh. So I don't really know much, right. Too much about it.
Yeah.
So we'll just call that. We'll just call that a thingy. Yeah. So how come this got brought up anyway?
Because they're talking about deals, you know, with it, depending on the. I've just seen another report a minute ago about your refusing to put a date on the backstop. So I'm telling you straight away on the 12th when the Prime Minister goes in there and says, here's the deal, the backstop's still going to be there. So it's not going to go through. So it's looking more and more likely that there's going to be no deal, then America can't do a deal with us. Doing deal with...
That was right. I brought up The Walking Dead because it was going to go, it's tainted meat!
Yeah.
Because of Bob. Yeah, there was this whole thing in like this terminus where like there was they were cannibalising each other, and like I say, yeah, that's why I brought up. And that's why Chris Hardwick got brought up for some reason.
See?
Yeah. But I understand that, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, we can't be slacking in our laws, for the sake of making deals with other countries.
And but we're known for doing that kind of shit.
Everyone is, but just because not everyone, yeah. There's people out there with ethics, right? And if you're an ethical company, right, and you're an ethical farmer, right, then you won't be putting out substandard products.
Well, yes.
For a start. They wouldn't be a such thing. It's like, well, no, you get it as it is, and this is the product.
Yeah.
You buy it or don't.
Yeah.
Right, and if you don't want prime fucking cuts of beef,
problem is,
then you don't get them.
If they bring that over, they're going to make it so fucking glamorous that when it's being put on the shelf, it's the one to go for. It's the talk of the town.
Yeah, of course.
So then it's the gonna, and people are gonna buy it. Then it's too late by that time. They've already consumed what they shouldn't be consuming.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? So just
I think with packaging, and when it comes into packaging with food and stuff like that, I mean, it's like it can be quite dangerous because I mean, it's like right. When they started kind of saying that, oh, it's 21-day mature beef.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I was always taught that if you left your meat in the fridge for 21 days, it'd go off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why is that any different?
Because it's sprayed.
And it looks.
It's chemical. Exactly.
I mean, it looks brown. It doesn't look fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been treated in such a way that it doesn't smell. It doesn't.
I won't say everything, but majority is. But
I don't get it.
They can do that works, but some do. Like plastics, and it's tightly wrapped round, so the oxygen don't get to it. So then the process of breaking down won't happen because there's no oxygen.
So what?
To stop
they have to kind of shrink wrap it before the.
It's directly after the event, after you've killed and cut it, then you've got to wrap it straight away. You've got to seal it straight away.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Most of these things are kind of like hung up in abattoirs or whatever. And they're not they're being frozen.
Yeah.
And it's like with the peas where they say, oh, we freeze our peas straight away, so they lock in all the goodness. And I assume that's the way, but how is that maturing if it's frozen? So it's hung up in a locker for 21 days, and that's not being 21 day matured. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just being frozen.
Yeah, it
could spend months frozen.
Like smoke haddock and stuff like that. Yeah, I suppose you'd need a certain amount of it. But then
who am I? Jamie Oliver. I don't know.
I don't know. Naked chef. Don't go down that route.
No, not today.
No.
Have you got any other news?
I have.
Well,
I have the.
I've got loads.
SNP. SNPs, you know, the Scottish Party.
Yeah.
Are looking at they've just put in to make new currency for Scotland.
Would this only work if they went independent?
Yes.
Right. So at the moment, so they've got a currency that aside just in case.
They're making it legal and in law that when or if they leave, they will be able to make. This legal currency to be used around.
Well, that's fair enough then, yeah, because at the end of the day, yeah, if you're your own country and you're separate from the Great Britain,
yeah,
or the UK,
yeah,
then yeah, you use your own currency. Yeah. I suppose you don't want to use the euro. Yeah, because they're not in Europe.
No.
Or would they be? Because I know that there was a lot of back and forth from... Well, no, because there was a lot of kind of thingy, weren't there? When all this happened and we had the referendum,
yeah,
there was a bit of a kick-off from Scotland because they were saying, well, we never voted for this. We want to be out of the UK.
Well, they'd be on their own then.
Well, they would. No, they wouldn't. They'd join the European Union.
No, they can't join it.
Well, how come?
They need a certain set of time, then... All their rules and regulations need to be changed, which half of the regulations won't be able to do.
It depends how badly they want to get into Europe, I suppose.
Well, yeah.
Because if they wanted to get into it, they'd change those rules and regulations to suit them.
Currency.
And that's what most countries would have to do.
They've already started the process of losing it already by making their own currency.
Nothing wrong with making your own currency.
Well, there is if you want to join another currency, because if you join Europe from...
Well, no, because I understand that like most currencies are operated by banking systems. So if you're...
Dodgy banking systems.
So if your currency is operated by a dodgy banking system,
yeah,
then you've got to go, as a government, back to the bank,
yeah,
and borrow more money.
Yeah,
you can't just print more.
Yeah.
But if it's owned by the government, then you can literally just print more based on your economic growth.
Well, yeah.
Right?
But
so Scotland, I've got the right idea.
All countries actually don't own
their own money. Well, no, but that's there in a kind of an adventurous sort of predicament to kind of maybe.
I see it as advantageous. Well, yeah, but it's selling. It's putting your people back into another debt.
Why is it? Because you don't. Because it's like you. What you say is like. Well, I suppose.
Yeah,
you've
got
always
to
filter out the old currency.
Yeah, because let's say you're a bank and I'm a country and I go, oi, can you make me some money? And you say, yeah, I do a penny on a pound. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's if you approach a bank.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're a new government, if you're basically if you're a new country where you can say we've got our own natural resources, yeah,
yeah,
right. I've always said now you can. They're gonna come to me now saying, what do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But I'm swear blind. Yeah, right. Scotland know something. They've got something tucked up their sleeve, like a little area in the Highlands. What's gold rich? Or oil rich. Yeah. You've already got North Sea gas, right? Which technically technically is operated by the UK.
Yeah.
Alright. But it goes to show you that these natural resources up in the Scottish Hills.
Yeah, they just found another big
fucking pot. Hey, we got a pot of gold, eh, laddie.
That is not enough to support them through the times that they're going to need.
You never know. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's true.
At the end
same
of the day,
with Brexit.
It's like I kind of feel like, you know, there's this push to get out of the UK, or there was. There's been a couple of referendums and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like I always felt like there was something kind of being kept hush-hush.
They've always got something up their sleeve.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, and if you're trying to build your own currency, yeah, as a government,
yeah,
then you go, well, we're the government, we're in control of that currency, we don't have to kind of bow down to any banking system.
Well, you do.
Yeah, well, how do you?
Because you're going to have to, because they're the ones who deal with other countries to go, oh, that's
yeah,
worth this, that's worth
so.
That.
Yeah, yeah, in that respect.
So they have
to,
the bank.
Well, not if your currency is recognised, and if they've put that bill in, like you say,
yeah,
to have that future proof. To be saying, right, well, in the future, we might become a sovereign nation, so therefore, we need our own currency.
Yeah.
So we're going to put this in place now
says,
if that ever happens, we've got our own banknote.
Yeah, basically,
right?
That's what
what I'm saying, if that's recognised now as a currency worldwide and on the trading market, then that's it done, isn't it? That's the job done.
Well, it is on one factor, but if they want to go to Europe, it just prolongs it that much longer, basically. Because it's not a case of, right, they hop out of England and you fuck off to Europe. It's a case that they hop out of England and they're loathsome for a while. then they've got to do all the dealings, the tradings. They've got to start from everything. They've got to start from scratch. The same as we are, we will.
Oh, yeah, of course we will.
But we're already on that
Well, maybe that's how they're thinking, because we're already starting from scratch.
I don't want to
no
see Scotland Gold, though. I don't want to see any of them
leave,
to be honest.
I love the Scottish. I've got Scottish heritage, you know.
Being
a Duncan and all, you know. Clan Duncan.
When our knobheads in Parliament fuck up a bit, we could do with a few Scots coming down and kicking some heads in.
Oh, mate. Well in. Yeah.
Oh, mate. We've got our hard nuts here.
I've got a bit of news here. Did you realise last week a 30 million page archive of human history and civilization launched aboard a spacecraft heading for the moon?
Just for the moon?
Yeah, it was heading for the moon. It's called the Lunar Library. Right, and
so
it's small nanotech device that resembles a DVD, and it's basically like intended as a backup plan. So if everything, we lose everything over it on Earth. Yeah.
But then how, if we start all over again, how the fuck are we going to get to it?
The way I look at this,
and it's going to be buried by the time we get here.
Well, there's always like a backup somewhere off planet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the way I look at this is, yeah, whenever, if you have a backup of something, it needs updating.
Yes.
Yeah. We're always learning new things and new technological advances.
Firing one up every 70 years or something.
If maybe that's what they have to do. And it's like a lunar library. The disc contains thousands of images of book pages, photos, illustrations.
I'm glad you said book then. I thought you said book then.
And book pages. Yeah, book pages. Photos, illustrations, documents from English Wikipedia entries.
Scientific, but Wikipedia ain't always right.
And no, it's not. And obviously, we've talked about this being like kind of one of those things where it's,
I could write
know,
on
it's
there.
Your opinion. Yeah, it's one man's opinion, and it can be edited.
Yeah.
Right. It can. So it contains all those things: Wikipedia entries, books, scientific handbooks, and the key to explaining languages and translations between them. The libraries also contain songs, texts, children's drawings. And relating to Israeli history and culture. So,
what?
You know.
So well, what about sports, you know?
I'm sure it's got a cross-section of most cultural things.
Well, it should do.
It should do. So, I mean...
But who is the one who was picking it?
I mean,
it?
It's like, I wonder... Yeah, because, I mean, it's like, well, what happens if he thinks fucking... I don't know. I was going to say lunacy. Lunacy's tunes.
Just don't forget,
it's going to the moon.
History is written by the winners.
Well,
so
yeah, exactly.
Whoever's,
I mean,
sending it
whoever's
up,
making this archive, if he's really into, I don't know, Beyonce, does that mean there's going to be a shit ton of Beyonce tracks on there?
Or
and not
blue
much
movies.
Of anything
All
else?
All of it is just blue movies. He's forgot. He's changed the disc.
Yeah, going to the moon.
It could do. Could do.
Aliens might. Yeah. You know, this is an example of the human reproductive reproductive system. In action.
This is how clever we are.
It's the third in the series of archives that's made up to a billion-year archive. The project aims to copy of, to put copies of its data in several places, Earth and in space, so that the information is likely to survive even billions of years after we've gone.
Well, it's a reputation of bullshit.
Well, no, I think it's a bad idea. It's when Carl Sagan sent that disc up. Yeah. And he sent up a thing that said, you know, like, here's the human body.
Yeah.
Here's all our weaknesses.
Yeah.
Right? Here's, like, kind of examples of the things that we're prone to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they shot it off into space. So does that mean that kind of, you know, they've got... we've got a handbook on how to destroy them here, basically.
Well, yeah. Exactly. It's
That's
just
how
a
I see
of,
it.
This is how we work. This is how we die. Come on. See what you want.
I think it's pretty. It is a good idea. I'm not saying it's because like anything
space is big,
anything
man, you know
could
what
happen
mean?
On Earth. Yeah, right. It's good to have a backup. Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah. So, I totally agree.
So if it's off planet, then it makes sense. So I mean, sending it up to the moon, it just depends if anybody is out there and if anyone finds it. That's it.
Yeah. Very true.
And what happens if we do lose everything on Earth?
Depends how we lose it.
Check this out. Here's a calamity for you, right? Big EMP goes off on Earth, right? We lose everything. All the information.
What, the whole Earth?
Yeah. I mean, we've got books.
But you'd have to have a lack
of
about seven.
We've only got books to an extent. Yeah. Right? And you know, a lot of information's been, you know, there's been riots, it's an apocalyptic time, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like, you don't have an EMP and not suffer consequences.
Yeah.
So,
very true.
Hundreds of years later, we're back to Stone Age times, or back to primitive, like, you know, living.
Well, we could do it in about 3 or 4 years.
Wait a minute. Oh, we've got all the information, but it's on the fucking moon.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? You got to develop space travel to get back to all the information you lost. What's the point in that? The problem I have is that, again,
the information that's been sent, like, look, when I was in school, who developed a lot of stuff were the Greeks and the Romans. But now, since I'm an adult, and I've found out that actually it goes even further back than that, where certain things have come from.
Yeah.
That's misinformation.
Well, when I was in school, Pluto was still a planet.
Yeah, and you know what? They're still there's a few scientists who are still fighting to bring that back as a planet.
I still want it to come back as a planet. Well, Pluto's battle scars revealed a Wild West sort of situation in the solar system, as far as researchers can see.
This is the other thing. If you're sending something to the moon, the moon is leaving us, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's on a drift. Yeah, of course it is.
So, and not only that, let's say another fucking planet, let's say Nibiru is true and it comes round, it hits the moon gets fucked off, we get destroyed.
I've got a story about that we can talk about in a minute.
Oh, right, you might have the same story as me.
I might do, but Pluto, just going back to that, it might have been downgraded to a dwarf planet. But its mysterious mysteries still loom in large.
Yeah.
When NASA's New Horizons probe flew past Pluto and its moons in 2015, it revealed a whole load of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Ice peaks, glaciers, frozen volcanoes, never seen anywhere else in the solar system.
This is a thing, this possible life.
Well, the place is just like, you know, I mean, I can't understand why it was downgraded.
Because of the size, basically.
But it doesn't matter, because they're saying that it's, you know, what's the size got to matter?
Because then you're saying a meteorite is a planet. A big meteorite is a planet.
Well, it's a planetoid, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's down to the size and it's down to its gravity and stuff like that. And basically, it just didn't fit what we put as planets in the listings. So it was taken out, but, like I said, there are like one third of scientists who still think it should be put as a planet, mainly because there is a real possibility that there is possible life on it.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, well, this article was basically saying, because of all the scarring and stuff like that on the planet's surface, it could indicate that there was something going on there. It's
right next to the Kuiper Belt as well, don't forget. So if stuff are going to hit, they're going to hit that first.
Well,
more than likely.
It's saying it contains crater. It's these areas of the planet that are crater rich, and age to about 4 billion years old.
Yeah.
I mean, close study of this and the craters in these regions, have suggested that, you know, it's basically been a hive of activity in that sort of area of space. And you know, it doesn't surprise me, actually, because like they say, it kind of spreads out, you know, when it expands.
Yeah.
So if it's expanding, then all that debris, it's got to be expanding outwards, isn't it? Yeah. So I mean, what's in the way? Oh, Pluto, unfortunately.
Well, Pluto is one of our saviours.
So what's your story about Nibiru this week?
Nibiru. Well, scientists at Caltech are saying we will find Nibiru within the next 9 years. I don't know why they've said 9 years, because it has actually been 9 years since they've been looking for it. You know what I mean? But they're saying within the next 9 years they'll find it, and they're not staring away from it. They are looking for it still, and the main reason why they're still looking for it is because, let me read this quote. They believe that there is still, that they're finding bits and pieces of evidence of its existence, unlike what's happening to Neptune, what's happening to some moons, what's happening to bits in the Kuiper Belt, what's happening to like the sun, the tilts and stuff like this.
So general kind of like
there are little indications that there has to be something there. And now we're finding over the last, like, I don't know, 6 months, that there are a number of other planets out there that are, could possibly be a part of this system.
Just generally, it was like this flat gingerbread meteorite thing they found, this snowman sort of thing, right? Peanut, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I mean, they found something which is kind of floating outside of our solar system, which is in what they consider deep space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you know, you don't know what's out there. I mean, we're just kind of looking at the observable space.
Yeah.
So anything past that, it's like there's definitely other solar systems out there.
Yeah.
It's just whether if this one is on. The problem with this is it's saying that it's on an orbit with us.
Yeah.
Right. And if it is, then it'll interact with us. And if it's true, then it could potentially be reason for planets having battle scars, planets having kind of craters,
totally.
Having like disruptions, you know, like Mars is having big sandstorms.
Well, do you reckon there was a planet between Mars and us?
Well, I believe that as well.
That's why there's...
Could have been taken out by a thing. I mean, by another planet.
Yeah.
I found this article on Life Sciences that basically says there could be a planet hiding in the outskirts of our solar system.
Yeah.
And astronomers have published new details about what it possibly could look like if it really exists.
Yeah.
Planet 9, according to a new paper published in February, has basically said that it could be 5 to 10 times the mass of Earth.
Yeah.
And probably travelling alongside an elongated orbit that peaks around 400 times...
That's Planet 9, man.
Earth's distance from the sun.
Nibiru, baby, Nibiru.
That orbit also is likely 15 to 25 degrees off the main orbital plane of our solar system, where most planets orbit.
Yeah.
So, like you say, it's got an elliptical orbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it only comes round every so many...
32,000 years.
Yeah, so...
3,200 years, sorry.
But again, all mashes up with the kind of floods, great flood sort of
things. Yeah, it's shown through history that, like, even the Sumerians, I know I keep going about Sumerians, but they're the oldest known civilization we know of, so you have to take a lot of what they say
as kind of like...
Yeah.
Well, this is it, though. These guys were people who were reporting the findings because they were happening, not because they had ulterior motives.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Or they had a system of government in place or anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they had a system of government.
Well, did they, really?
Yeah. They were like one of the... Yeah, they brought in the amount of
stuff. But do you really think that they were kind of using that as a means to... As a means to kind of like...
Take control.
Yeah, they're not using media.
Yeah.
They're not that advanced where they're using media.
No, but you reckon they would, if they had the opportunity, they wouldn't use it.
What, and say that this is a planet Make X their own, out there?
Yeah, well, or say no, there isn't a planet X, but you see it and then it's gone.
Shit, planet X.
If we seen it now and then it went, and then I said to someone who didn't see it, there's a planet X, they go, nah, I don't believe, blah, blah, blah. I can convince you after that's gone, because I know it's not going to come back for another 3,200 years.
That's true, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you ain't going to be around. So you ain't going to be able to turn around and say, oh, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Proof's in the pudding, mate. Pudding. It's a big pudding.
Pudding. Have you seen, today was a big day for SpaceX. Did you see the launch?
Oh, I heard about it, yeah.
Well, you heard about it? I watched it live.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, it was interesting, it was very good.
I was looking to do that later on.
Crew Dragon, test flight, or DM-1, blasted off from Cape Canaveral today. And he had an interesting, I know Elon Musk is kind of into his, like, kind of gags. And obviously he sent a car up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it had a little thing on the dashboard, didn't it? Yeah. Right. Well, on this case, he sent a dummy up called Ripley.
Yes.
Inside the capsule, embedded with sensors to monitor how a flight would feel on a human astronaut.
Yes, I remember this.
It was pretty interesting.
Because that was brought up at last moment, sir. It wasn't originally going to happen with a dummy. It was just going to, go up. But then at last moments, they considered using a dummy. So obviously they got the go ahead after certain tests. And yeah, it's looking good. And Boeing's going to send one up this year.
I've seen that as well. Well, they both basically got given the contracts, didn't they?
Yeah.
So it was like they were given the opportunity to kind of come up with a, develop a new sort of rocket.
Yeah.
And SpaceX has got there first. But SpaceX's famous Starman dummy on board the the Falcon launched in 2018. From now, it's the new dummy's called Ripley, who will fly off on the first test mission on the company's Crew Dragon capsule. Yeah. So
That's weird. That's making me think now. Calling it Ripley.
Yeah.
Oh, the first thing when you say Ripley, it'd be
aliens.
There we go.
Yeah, that's why he's called it alien. Ripley into space. Yeah.
To look for aliens.
Oh, the irony.
We already know that.
Ripley's not on as a dead weight on board. She's packed full of range sensors, and that SpaceX engineers will monitor to and from the journey to the International Space Station.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a bad name. Eleanor Ripley is what they're calling it, which is the character from the 1979 movie Alien, as pointed out, and some of its sequels. The name follows the SpaceX trend of naming things after science fiction icons. Its first spacesuit.
It's not a good look though, really, is it?
Figure was called the Tesla Roadster, which they sent up.
Acid-bleeding monsters that come away. We want to bring them back.
Yeah,
They're going out to get an alien and bring it back.
Or like chest...
Yeah.
Blowers.
Yeah, what are they called?
Exploders.
Oh, I don't know.
The
Xenomorphs, I think they're called. Yeah, if my sci-fi memory...
Serves
me correctly. So yeah, I mean, but it's been a big day. I mean, like I say, they set off at 7:49 GMT, which is Greenwich Mean Time, which was kind of like 2:49 AM in America at Cape Canaveral. That was liftoff. So yeah, it's been pretty cool. SpaceX CEO and founder Elon Musk unveiled the first glance of the Ripley doll on Friday, 1st of March, or via Twitter.
And he's taking off his pants.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no. Doesn't bear thinking about.
It doesn't.
Elon, put it away, son. Yeah, so. Yeah, anything else you'd like to talk about?
No. I want to leave some for Mr. Extra.
Oh, yeah, we've got a good extra coming up as well.
Yeah.
Well, we're moving on to the main topic then.
Yeah, I think we better move on to this.
I don't know, we got any kind of like no entertainment news this week?
It's
not been any for a while. We might have to kind of think and actually have a look.
Well, if you want to listen to the entertainment news, you'd come on to Extra.
Oh.
And we'll put it on there.
There you go. Bam. We'll have to have a look. Well, so like basically today's episode... kicking off our murder march.
Yeah, sponsored by Al. Again.
Sponsored by
Al and his mobile discos.
Sponsored by Al's mobile discos. Does all your bar mitzvahs, birthdays, christenings, and weddings. Coming.
Funerals.
Even funerals. He'll sort you out a bit of a birdie song. Awesome.
Oh, right.
Yes. So, yeah, today's episode. Today's episode is Fred and Rosemary West, The Murder House of Horrors. So, yeah.
Sicko.
What do you know about the guy?
He's a sicko. I know, right?
Yeah.
He was a fucking...
Well, like I say, this episode is going to be a two-parter.
Yeah.
Right. And I think what we should talk about is really Frederick Walter Stephen West.
Yeah.
Born 29th of September 1941. Son of a farmer.
He sounds like a farmer, you know. I heard an interview. He's like,
he talks like that. Yeah, he's very from Gloucestershire here.
Yeah,
you. So I'm going to talk like that.
Yeah. Been missing the sheep and getting them dead bodies.
He was basically rapist, murderer, torture,
abuser.
The guy was mental, mate. It's like up to 5 bodies found in the cellar.
Yeah.
Three or four in the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's 6 in the cellar, actually.
Yeah, I was just going to say then. Yeah, I believe it was 6. Because later on, the mob.
Well.
Can't give much away.
Well, to be honest, the guy, like I say, he was mostly known as an English serial killer who committed at least 12 murders between 1967 and 1987 in Gloucestershire. The majority of them with another person, basically his wife, Rosemary West. All victims were young women. At least 8 of these murders involved West's sexual gratification and included rape, bondage, torture, manipulation, mutilation and of the victims, where typically they were buried in the cellar or in the garden of the West's the West's home, where they raised their children. And also run business interests.
Rangers in out and out all the time.
Of 25 Cromwell Street, which came to be known as the House of Horrors.
Yes.
So the West's house was the whole, was basically, they were using it as all sorts, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, not only did they have a shit ton of kids, right? Which a lot of people kind of didn't even, a lot of people knew that they weren't all Fred's, right? And this all came down to Rosie's sexual proclivity, working as a prostitute, Now, it's weird because Fred had this sort of, like, deviance anyway. Being, like, like, he was into it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was, like, basically he was Rosie's pimp.
And all his mates when he got to a pub. Like
that knocked me sick, that, right? There was an interview with Fred West where he was basically saying, you know, I don't have to worry about my mate shagging my wife.
Yeah.
Because most of them, I know they've already done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's seen the videos, he's been filming.
filming the fuckers. Yeah.
So, you know, she was using the family home as a prostitution business. And they also used the same camera to film, you know, that they used to film all this.
Yeah.
For the whole movies and the you know, the family holidays and stuff like this. Yeah. So, and it was one of these videos of the kids kind of gone holiday that kind of sparked, like, a debate, like, where was one of the children?
Yeah.
Right. Heather West went missing, and for a couple of years, there was kind of a bit of an investigation about where she was. There was inquiries, and like the police they'd been coming to the family home asking, you know, when, like, they'd been not sent, you know, it was basically them who reported her. And missing persons case, this sort of thing happened all the time with young girls, young kids, young lads.
Happens today, doesn't it?
People just want to move on and get off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when it came to it, there was an interview with a couple of the kids who lived in the house, the parents and stuff like that. And it all came down to Anne, one of the daughters, who came out with a statement that said a family joke.
It was always said in the family, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Fred had basically turn around and say, like, oh, don't piss me off. Don't get me pissed off because, you know, you'll end up under the patio. Like your sister, Heather. So he's like that, you know. So basically, this family joke, I don't want to end up under the patio, got a missing sister, who they suspect is alive and well somewhere.
Yeah.
And this joke of being buried under the patio
is a silly little thing.
Silly joke told by the dad, right?
Yeah.
So.
Which wasn't so silly.
It led the detectives to want to look a bit deeper into this, because I think one of them had a bit of an inkling that there could be a bit more to it. So this buried under the patio sort of joke of the children's would basically go a long way to securing the fate of Fred and Rosemary West. Actually, what happened was, when they actually turned up, it took them about eight months to get a warrant to do this. I think it was probably a bit longer than that. But it took them quite a while, 18 months actually, before they could get a warrant.
This WPC was putting pressure on wherever she could, basically, to get a warrant.
Right, so they finally got it, and they turned up to dig up the back garden, right, hoping to find the body, or the remains at least, of Heather West, right. So, to Fred's reaction to this was when Rose is called saying, Fred, the police have just turned up.
Yeah.
They're digging up the back garden.
Yeah.
He's gone, well, they'll be paying for it. You know, what? And he made this sort of like, you know, hoo-ha about it, the fact that they were damaging his property.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not going to find anything, so they best be replacing it when they finish. Basically trying to make him say, oh, right, fuck, well, we best stop then.
But the police stopped straight away and went, right, sorry for disturbing you. We clean that up and we're gone.
Of course he did. They put all the plant pots back and got off. But no, they didn't. They basically got the warrant, they went in and they dug it up, right? And that was on the 24th of February, 1994.
Right.
Right. And Fred was being kind of like boisterous about the whole situation, and he was basically saying that, you know, like, you know, you're causing damage to my property and all the rest of it. But the police basically said, if you can put us in touch with Heather,
yeah,
we'll call off the search, we'll stop digging your garden up, you know, there won't be an issue here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he couldn't.
They just need to know where she is.
So, you know, that was it. Heather had been missing since 1986, 1987 at this point, yeah, and like, don't forget, it's 1994, right? So she'd been missing for a length of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, this kind of spurred them to kind of investigate this, and they wanted to... They wanted to rule him out.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And if they had an inkling that Heather was buried under the patio, Beth Jordash style, Brookside, then they wanted to kind of get to the bottom of it, literally.
Yeah.
So,
On
February the 25th, 1994, Rose and Fred West were taken into custody. Oh, just for questioning, really.
Yeah.
Now, Howard Ogden, who is Fred's defence attorney, had been called because obviously Fred had been taken into custody and he wanted his attorney, his solicitor there. Fred basically called saying he wanted advice, you know, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But his attorney, right, Howard, was like, don't worry about it, Fred. It's all bollocks. I know this is obviously a case of mistaken identity, or they've not got all the facts, and I will get you out, don't you worry.
Yeah.
But no. Basically, Fred just came out with it and said, nah, I did it. Yeah. Which to Howard, he was like, what? He was on holiday at the time.
Oh, fuck.
And he's basically just turned his car around. Right, drove straight back to, you know, Gloucestershire to speak directly to Fred, because at the end of the day, it was like Fred's account of Heather's death was just kind of like, he's come out with it now, he's owned up.
Yeah.
So he starts kind of coming out with the details.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said that he had a moment of rage, he just grabbed her by the neck, and it was one of those where he was trying to shake her, and he took it too far, and it was one of those accidental domestics.
The old excuses, eh?
Well, exactly. And this is kind of what it was put down to on the surface.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, they only had suspicion for one murder.
Yeah.
Like, one disappearance. It wasn't even considered a murder case at that point. It was a missing persons case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, when they started looking into it, and obviously, they've had this suspicion of digging up his patio.
Yeah.
They've not found anything, not unearthed anything up until that point.
Right.
Right. It was when Fred got taken in, you know, and he just owns up. So
he just opens his mouth, just like says, I did it. This is what happened, blah, blah, this, that.
Well, he basically said, they might have even found a thigh bone. I think it was something that had pointed them to take him in for questioning.
Yeah.
I think they must have come up with something.
Yeah.
Once he was taken in, though, right, he was saying that, you know, it was a rage-fueled thing.
Yeah.
And that it was just an accidental death.
Right.
He even went into how he got rid of the body. He said that, you know, he tried to bury her in the back garden, but the hole wasn't big enough. so he had to decapitate her.
Bits about
now,
that.
Now, there was other bits about that. This once you get back into the sort of pathology reports, that there wasn't just like, there was actually bits missing, like kneecaps and fingers and toes. It's, you know, in the manner that he kind of dismembered her was just weird, do you know what I mean? So,
but that's how a psychopath usually takes some kind of...
Well, now I appreciated the fact the guy must have been a psychopath, because according to people who knew him, he'd sit in the spot where she was buried and talk.
Yeah, oh, right.
And say prayers and stuff like that. And
that
he
doesn't sound... Well...
And he basically said that a few times, saying that he would, you know, kind of like see her and speak to her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming that, like I say, I didn't think they found anything, because straight after this, like, he changes his story.
Right.
So he's already admitted that he's murdered her, right?
Yeah.
But now he's changing his story, saying that she was fine, she was alive and well. She was actually working for a drug cartel in Bahrain, running drugs, and as far as he knew, she was fine. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
and if you ever, you know, go out there, you'll find her. She's working for the drug cartel.
She, ain't she, really?
But that same day in the garden, it was still being excavated.
Yeah.
And human remains started to come up.
Hey,
up. Right. Bones emerged from a female victim, and then he basically changed his story again. His story changed, flipped, reversed it. I mean, he went from admitting it to claiming this wild drug cartel. I think what had happened was they tried to calm him down and they put him on some medication.
Right.
Yeah. And he started coming out with all these wild theories, she's in Bahrain, she's chilling with a drug cartel, Scarface, yeah. He was in the interview, if you listen to the tapes, seems fearful of Rose's reaction to the news that a body has actually been resumed. So at this point, the murder was also being treated as a domestic.
Yeah.
But once...
domestic what? Murder?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it was his daughter, right? So the way they looked at it was... Something's happened. There's been a domestic dispute within the house.
Charges,
right? He's reacted because she's pushed his buttons. He's grabbed her, shaken her. It's gone too far, and he's ended up killing her, right?
So now, the first thing he does is go and get a knife, try and cut her. He can't fucking cut her. He gets a fucking blade. He cuts her legs.
Oh, obviously. I mean, but you don't know what goes through the head of somebody who's just... I mean, at the end
someone
of the...
Would no
you
conscience.
Imagine that? Yeah, well, no. I mean... accidentally, right, you've done that, would you kind of call the police straight away?
No.
Or would you try and deal with it? I don't know what would go through my head as a if it was accidental. It's not premeditated. You're thinking my life's over, you know what I mean? If I get caught for this, or if I own up,
then
I could still get done for manslaughter or something, you know. I can hope that the jury see it my way, but
there's not a great chance that
exactly,
they are.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you're kind of under a lot of pressure
in
a very short space of time.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean.
Yeah, it's true.
So I can understand why he kind of flipped and changed his story,
but then
and why it's considered a domestic.
But then that's just making it into like a right to do it.
Well, no, it's not a right to do it
if you don't get caught.
Well, yeah, but what by saying, well, like, I did it by accident and I didn't want to get in trouble, so I covered it up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you could say that if it was premeditated, though.
Yeah,
it was
an
accidental, but I just didn't mean it.
I did
a bad murder.
It's true.
Literally. Yeah. But, yeah.
You should have made them stuff better than I did.
Well, like I say, I mean, Fred, he's in... prison,
yeah,
or he's in locked up,
yeah,
right. He's flip flopping in his story,
yeah,
and he's bothered about what's gonna happen when Rose finds out this body's been found. Now, once the bones started coming out of the garden, right?
Yeah,
there was a kind of a point where they had to go back to Fred and say, listen, Fred, is there something you're not telling us? And he's gone, well, what do you mean? He goes, is there any more remains going to come out of this garden? And he goes, well, maybe. Maybe one, yeah.
Maybe two.
Because,
two.
Well, no, well, so the this all sparked off because earlier that day, the pathologist had already been in the garden, yeah. Right? And he had to turn around to the superintendent, which was Superintendent Bennett, yeah. And say, you know, in a bit of a jokey fashion, that this girl must have had three legs because it's rather that, or we've got another body in here, yeah.
And sounds like another body to me,
well,
boss.
That's exactly what I thought. I mean, they started pulling out more bones and it turned out to be more than one victim.
Jeez.
So when they confronted him about it, he said, yeah, he said, there is another one. And he named her as Shirley Robinson. He basically was having an affair with her from 1978. And yeah. She was also a lodger in the Cromwell House. Now, I found out that there was up to 100 lodgers staying within
what,
that.
One day?
No,
in one time?
No, over a few decades, yeah.
Yeah, I did hear that there was lots of people who were seen coming in and out of the place.
But that makes you think, well, how many people have been murdered and got away with?
That is true.
And that we just don't know about, because it's like, if you're a lodger, you've got no connections, family ties, you're just a person who's a drifter, student, whatever, but, you know, these are the types of people who find themselves in lodging circumstances.
So they must be getting rid of the bodies at the time of the periods where there's nobody actually there.
Well, it depends how many lodges they've had at a time.
Yeah,
maybe,
but you're not
going to,
if you committed a murder, you're not going to go, oh, right,
I've
got guests here, I'm going
to,
like...
Well, I don't think this matters to Fred, because I'll get to this in a minute, because there were certain elements of this where I think, there's no way you should have got away with this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there's no way, because at this point, he's claiming that it was all him, right?
Yeah.
Now, we'll crack on.
Yeah.
So, this Shirley Robinson was staying with the West. She said that she was staying there for quite a while.
Yeah.
He was having an affair with Fred, and this is probably what sparked the murder, right? As far as we know so far,
yeah.
Right? So, Fred's account of it, it's almost poetic. He says, you know, it was I strangled Shirley on a moonlit night as Rose slept.
What the fuck is he?
You know
the
what
Joker?
I mean? I know, yeah, like as he danced for the devil on
yeah.
The pale moonlight.
What the fuck?
So, you know, it's kind of like when he talks, he doesn't sound intelligent, but he has this sort of poetic sort of way of saying things,
stuff.
Yeah, which kind of something like, you know,
it's a charmer, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, like picking out the fact that it was a silvery moonlight night.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, it's unnecessarily, but, you know, he's kind of paints a picture, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So he says this in a police interview, and he talks about Shirley, and he remarks about chopping her up like the last one,
yeah.
Right? Obviously relating to his daughter,
yeah,
right? And then he comes out with, and that made three, yeah? But up until that point, only two bodies come up. And then he quickly retracted that and went, no, two bodies. It was two bodies, yeah? Until...
Suspicious.
A third body did come out of the ground. Now, the bodies were chopped up and decapitated and buried in shallow graves, and they were basically, they were unrecognisable. There was a kind of a problem in kind of determining who these girls were.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd already identified Shirley Robinson and Heather West.
And there was no DNA in that back there. It only just started to slightly come out then.
But,
so it would have been hard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and plus, I mean, no one knew how long these bodies had been in the ground
It
was difficult for pathologists to kind of determine anything.
Yeah.
Apart from dental records.
Yeah, yeah.
But unless they had images of the girls smiling, yeah, which they could match them up.
Yeah.
You know, it was very difficult.
Yeah.
They managed it, and in a couple of the cases, they did actually pin down a missing persons and link it to the West.
Yeah.
Pardon me. But during an interview with Howard Ogden, again, his defence, he said he did mention about a third,
Shirley's mate. And he said she was the one who gave him trouble. Yeah.
Right.
So, again, no identification on this. So, at this point, Fred West was being kind of detained for the murder of three young girls. And on the 3rd of March, 1994, in court, relating to three bodies found at the address of 25 Cromwell Street, he apparently collapsed in court, trying to play the, I've got problems, I can't deal with this sort of thing. Collapsed in court when it was revealed that Shirley Robinson was actually pregnant at the time.
Fucking hell.
So it's believed that she was pregnant with Fred's kid, and it's all gone wrong because he didn't want Rose to find out that this was his child, right? But we have reason to believe that that was not the case, and that there was a bit more to it than that, which we'll probably get into in the next episode.
Yeah, I was going to say a few bits and bobs here that needs to get back into the past.
So Fred's defence mate is falling apart, right? Even his defence attorney and the sort of steward or clerk who was assigned to the case were getting to a point where they were like, I don't know if we can deal with this anymore, mate.
Yeah.
You know, is there anything else you're not telling us? You know, but they were finding it hard to cope, you know, with all this information and all these bodies turning up, and it was pretty horrific. He even had a sort of caseworker or a social worker that was assigned to him.
Yeah.
Usually assigned to people with kind of special needs or learning difficulties.
Yeah.
But she was assigned to Fred, and he seemed to open up to her. Yeah.
Whoa, right?
And they were saying, mate, is there anything else you want to tell us? Because we don't seem to believe you when you say this is it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think this is it. He thought that he needed to let these bodies come out one at a time. So it wasn't like a big hit. You know what I mean?
Big shot to the system.
So
wanting to crawl it in.
He turned around to his social worker and, like, you know, and his defence, Howard, and said, you know, we're the only three bodies, or is there anything else we need to worry about?
Yeah.
And Fred's response was, yeah, there's a fuck more load bodies.
Oh, shit.
So, you know,
it's not good. Not good for him.
When anyone replies he's a fuck ton of bodies, then that I'm starting to think, how many is a fuck ton? Do you know what I mean?
10, 20, 30, 40, 1,000.
Well, on the 4th of March, 1994, Fred confessed to 9 additional killings. One of Linda Goth, Renee, plus others to be identified as 12 linked to the address.
Yeah.
12 linked to the address at Cromwell Street.
Yeah.
But more that are out there. So his identity, so basically I gave the identities to a couple of the girls, but he said the others had to be identified.
Yeah.
So it's rather kidnapped or kind of it picked up hitchhikers.
Yeah.
There's something.
There's a lot of picking up.
There's a
wasn't
bit more
there?
Kind of bit more to it. The police sketched when he said where they were.
Yeah.
They basically said they were in the cellar of the home, and that's where they'd need to start digging next.
Yeah.
So the police sketched a drawing of his cellar.
Yeah.
And basically said, can you point to where these bodies are buried?
Well, you know where his kids live?
Yeah.
His kids' room.
Oh, no, his kids' room was...
was downstairs in the cellar after he cemented them all in.
How do you mean?
Well, downstairs in
No.
I believe it was.
No, his daughter was buried in the back garden, which was...
No. I mean, the was other
he
kids,
used the
they used
as
it
the
as kids' room.
Oh, like a playroom?
No, to live in. Their
really?
Bedroom.
Oh, I don't know about
that's
that.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick if he
That's what he did afterwards because he was very proud of his house.
Yeah, well, I mean,
very
he was a builder,
it.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
But I think, well, like, whenever you see photos of the basement, it doesn't look that sort of, you know, like, child bedroomy. There's a couple of...
Well,
it looks like they've gone down there and drawn on the walls, Do you know what I mean? It looks like they probably played down there, but I wouldn't say it was a sleeping area or a bedroom.
Apparently it was.
It was only
God.
That's what I heard on the...
Well, they sketched a drawing of West's cellar, so we could point out where the bodies could be found, and the police could act on this right away.
Yeah.
But the thing was, it was like a media circus at the West House.
Yeah,
so, like, you know, they had to kind of say, we can't do anything just yet. They had to wait till the cover of night until everything was quiet. All
that,
the journalists had gone. And they literally...
You'll get
was,
that now.
There was literally two coppers outside the house.
Yeah.
And they all turned up in boiler suits. And then that's when they started to kind of try and get through the concrete.
Yeah.
And discover what was going on. Fred... Basically, he definitely had mental issues, but he said he could see all the spirits. Yeah.
Right.
When they took him back to the house to say, where is it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You point to where. Yeah. And he was saying, oh, the spirits, they're talking to me. He basically said that they were happy at what he did and that they'd meet him soon and all the rest of it. I mean, it's like the way he talked was like he was being haunted by these spirits. Now, that could just be a psychological thing because,
guilt. Could have been guilt.
Yeah, totally guilt, yeah. Because it was like, say, he sat at the bottom of the garden saying prayers for Heather and maybe others. So, you know...
I don't think it is guilt, to be honest. I don't think he had a guilty bone in his fucking
body. It could have been ratched in the head.
Well, no. A lot of people believe that he was actually just trying to claim insanity and try and, you know, blag it.
You know
what?
He was
trying to say... Because he's when he came out with this shit, it was kind of like half-hearted. So he'd be like, oh, yeah, the spirits, or, oh, I'm a bit mental, you know what I mean? But there was nothing to kind of give it legs, if you like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true. I mean, now you could because of his car accident he had in his younger days.
Yes.
He was a pretty boy.
Well, apparently he did.
Yeah.
He had a bit of a car accident, and his family said that it actually changed his behaviour quite
his
a lot.
His face was totally changed.
Well, not just his kind of looks, but his behaviour.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, because he was like... more, instead of charming him, if he wanted to touch your breast, he'd come over and touch your breast.
Well,
and then he moved on from that, and it's like, what the fuck? He turned into a sick old
man. Yeah, but that's, again, it's like, just because you had a kind of an accident...
No, this is the reason why.
...that doesn't give you permission or kind of, like, say...
Your frontal lobe.
Yeah.
If you damage your frontal lobe, there are so many cases to prove this.
Oh, yeah, so it kind of... there's no sort of emotion, there's no sort of...
It changes, yeah. It makes you more aggressive. And it makes you less empathetic.
Yeah.
So, there is a case for that. I say because he
does
have
look
a big,
a bit Neanderthal,
fracture.
Yeah, he does look a bit of a Neanderthal.
Yeah. Bit of a farmer nut job.
Yeah. Well.
Carrot cruncher.
So yeah, there is that. But I mean, they didn't do any. As far as I know, they didn't do any sort of like medical exams on him to see if he had sort of. Damage, brain damage or anything like that, but I mean
I don't think that would come up around
would,
about that
no,
time.
No, it would have, wouldn't
now
have
would
I think nowadays it would
yeah.
have, yeah, because they'd just go straight in for like scans and that,
yeah,
and they'd
yeah.
be able to
MRI and see what's damaged, what's not.
Well, 10 days into the investigation, efforts to dig in the basement and to find more bodies brought up two sets of remains, making that five so far.
Fuck,
three
yeah.
in the garden, two in the basement. On the 5th of March, another two sets of remains were brought up, bringing the count up to seven.
Fucking hell.
So that was three in the garden, four in the cellar.
Yeah.
And then on the 9th of March, one more.
Can
now,
I ask a question?
Go on.
How old were they?
They were all sort
different
of...
Different ages.
All different ages, yeah. Between 17, 18 to kind of like 30.
But all
mid-30s.
Female.
All female, all similar build.
Yeah.
All similar looking, to be honest. When you look at the photos,
so
you kind of
type.
Do see
that
they had
into
a
the
type.
Perversion of what they were into as well, and like what happened to them in the past. They wanted to reconstruct.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah. But like
especially
I say...
Especially with a...
Even trying to identify the bodies first off, though, because
yeah.
you've got to think of how many missing persons cases that happen in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah. A year, right?
Fucking
then they've
thousands.
Got a kind of, so all right then. So they've got a county to work with, Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
Right? So they've got a load of missing cases of girls in Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
They can narrow it down to a few, but then they've got to find...
It's been spread over the
because
years.
Because, like
so
I say, the way that they did that in the 70s, 80s and 90s was a lot different to today.
Yeah.
And, you know,
oh, yeah.
I watched this documentary of the guy, he was trying to match up dental records with images, and he was saying it's dead difficult because I've not got photos of the girl smiling.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it is this girl. Do you know what I mean? I've got to find a photo, try and match it up, and then 9 times out of 10 it's not what I'm looking for, but that one occasion when it does, it's like
Eureka.
Exactly
what I was thinking.
So why would you do this? I mean, Fred said he used his driving job to cover up his indiscretions and affairs with girls that he found hitchhiking or, you know, arranged to meet previously. He'd pick them up, you know, have his way, have his fun.
He would.
But then, when things were getting a bit too hot and heavy,
bam,
boom.
See ya.
Maybe not even that soon after he'd met him. Do you know what I mean? He claimed that in order to hide this from Rose, that he had to murder them, right?
Now, and this why is he after from Rose?
Well, at this point, this is what he's claiming. This is what he's claiming to the police, right? So, at this point, he's trying to keep Rose out of it, right? He's trying to say she's got nothing to do with it. It's all me, right?
Mother issues.
Well, no, I think that he just kind of felt like she needed to be there to look after the kids. She didn't need to go down for it as well as him. He's trying to protect her. It's his wife.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He wanted to keep her out of it.
Yeah, he wanted to keep her out of it. Now, these actually bugged surveillance footage and kind of like audio of her talking in the house, and even behind closed doors, she makes out like she's an innocent and that she's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And that he'd never forgive him for murdering her daughter and her sister. You know, she's talking to her other daughter, Anne, and saying, no, it's unforgivable. Well, when... You know, again, we've got reason to believe that, you know, there was a bit more to it than that, which we'll go into later on. So he's tried to say that he claimed that, you know, he was meeting girls on his driving job, right? And then he was murdering them because he didn't want Rose to find out. Now, this is where it all falls apart for me, because, wait a minute, you've got a man who doesn't want his wife to find out he's been cheating on her, right? But then brings the corpse back to his family home, right? In order to bury her in the basement, right?
To feel close.
Well, I don't get, no. I wouldn't be burying her in my family home if that was the case, If I was trying to not let my wife find out because I've been having an affair with this woman.
Yeah.
Now, also, so here's an account of Fred, right? So for one instance, he turns around and he says, one of the girls, he brought back to the house in a box, right? Chopped up in a box. He was the middle of the night.
Did Rose see him?
No, right? It's the middle of the night, everyone's asleep, right? Now he goes downstairs into the basement, starts breaking through concrete to dig a hole.
Don't wake every bugger up.
To bury this person, right?
True.
Now, he says, oh, people were used to me digging and doing stuff in the basement.
Because
he was killing a shitload of people, that's why.
Torturing
So, obviously, it was, like, happening on a regular basis. There was that used to it, that they knew Fred was down in the house, down in the basement doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Or doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the house was also on the end of a terrace as well, so it meant that there was no neighbours on one side.
No complaints.
Yeah, so no complaints there. So, to me, this is kind of like, I say, where it all falls apart. Rose claims that she had nothing to do with it. But how could someone make all that noise without, you know, arousing some sort of suspicion?
Yeah. Even if you were used to it, you'd still go down and go, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, mate, If I had a wife and I was down in the basement in the middle of the night when I should be out on my driving job, or I've just got home from a driving job, and now all of a sudden I'm in the basement digging holes and making a load of noise, my wife, I should imagine my wife would be at the top of the stairs going, what the fuck are you doing down there? Right? I'm not being funny. At least one of the kids or Rose would have said something. Or even pissed off a neighbour.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. banging around in the basement. So, you know, like I say, the house was on an end terrace, so there's that aspect that he's only got neighbours on one side, and as long as he keeps it to one side of the house,
it's nice and quiet.
It's quite quiet.
But you'd still, in the basement, the sound would carry, you'd still hear it next door.
It depends, because houses back then were built right. They were built with about
seven layers of bricks.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You don't hear the outside.
Breaking in concrete, you would hear it.
Well, it depends. It depends what he was using. It depends how he was using it. It's not going to be there with a fuck off big drill going.
You know,
a pickaxe to break concrete or a sledgehammer, you're still going to fucking hear it.
Well, like I said, he could have just made a little wall, put a fucking spike in there, hammered the fucker with a soft eye hammer. And crack it and just
well, whatever you're doing, at the end of the day, if you kind of moving stuff around,
you know what I mean? Bank robbers do it, and they're not going to do it nice and noisy. So there's equipment back then to do it nice and quiet.
Anyway, all the evidence shown that the murders weren't just accidental; they weren't unplanned. It was stuff like bindings, belts near the bodies. Packing tape around the heads, where they'd been caked in parcel tape and gagged. Yeah. Now in 1992, right, the police had actually had reason to believe that Fred West had been sexually assaulting one of his daughters, right, from reports that they'd got anonymously, right? So when they arrived at the house, they did a raid. Now they found tapes of Fred and Rose's sexual activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of kind of torture, bondagey sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
They also found porno magazines, right, where Rose was advertising her services.
Right.
Yeah, under the name Mandy.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So they knew that they had some sort of perversion.
And I know who one of the people was who went and seen who? Rose, her father.
Oh, well,
even 4 years after she gave, after the four.
Well, like, again, this, it's a big bit that we, this deep cutting stuff. Yeah.
Leaving that for the next one.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, I mean, it's like when you start getting into the early years and how they kind of, you know, the psychology of it all.
Because I've got on my head, because I've been looking at more of the psychology of them.
But it's crazy because, like I said earlier, I mean, it's like when you Fred's not even worried whether his mates have slept with his missus because he knows he have.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Half
the lads at work had, half the lads down the pub had.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was no secret that she was, finger.
You know, because half of them weren't his.
Well, again, I mean, a lot of the kids were suspected to be of other people because. Yeah. You know, of her ex, what she got up to. So, you know, alongside all these sort of videos of horrific torture and rape, they found interviews from the Inquirer that basically said, like, you know, they were into this dark sexual stuff and, you know, they had kind of cause to go and break in at the, you know, do a raid on the property.
Yeah.
You know, so... Why this wasn't brought up at the time, it's just beyond me, do you know what I mean? So it's like, especially with what's gone on here, because if they brought him in, now that previous evidence should have just gone straight into it. They should have looked at that and thought, right, what if we had him in for before? Yeah.
Which they have been brought in before.
Yeah, exactly. They were brought in on a number of occasions, Right, there was another instance which we'll go into next week.
That was the one I was thinking of bringing up, but I think next week should be.
It's actually quite. It's amazing.
It brings a lot of things together.
So you know, now Fred was acting like he was some kind of medium.
Yeah.
Yeah, saying like, "Oh, the spirits," and you know, he actually turned around and said there was, you know, one more body yet to be discovered at Cromwell Street. Yeah. So this is the 12th body.
Yeah.
Right. We've had how many?
The three in the backyard. Six in the basement.
No, I think it was seven in the basement.
Was it seven in the basement?
No, eight in the basement.
Was it eight?
Eight in the basement. Free in the back garden so far. But he actually, they turned around and said, right, where's this?
No, because then they go back to his old house.
Yeah, which is, again, like...
Right, okay.
So, like, we're, again, talking about Cromwell Street. In Cromwell Street, they found, I think it was nine in the... they said nine in the basement.
Yes, sorry, I do apologise.
It was nine in the basement, so they found eight so far, right? There was three in the...
Garden, so that made the 12.
The 12, right? But once he'd found the 8, right, he was the last one that he said he was yet to discover, right? So when they went down, they gave him a can of red spray paint and said, you mark where this last one is, yeah?
Yeah.
And he went straight over, sprayed the ground, bang on, that's exactly where they found the 12th victim of Cromwell Street. So, 12 bodies were found in the House of Horrors on Cromwell Street. There were 113 bones missing from the remains, mostly from hands and feet.
But weren't they
were also missing kneecaps.
Kneecaps?
Yeah, so 8 out of the 9 had in the basement were bound and had evidence of bondage and obviously missing bones, kneecaps and stuff. They asked him, they said, we know you're like, you know, you're a sentimental guy and you're like, do you like keeping a memento?
Yeah.
Are you keeping these somewhere?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, it was a bit of a coincidence that they were all missing the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, no, nothing to it. Do you know what I mean? He was asked all these questions relating to the evidence, everything. He was like, no comment.
No comment.
It was like he knew nothing about the details about the cases.
So he's changed his mind again.
Well, it was kind of like he was acting that way. Because up until a point, it was like, I could go in and confess to anything and they've got to take me seriously. But once the evidence starts coming out and it's not adding up, they've got questions. They know that it wasn't accidental. They know that it wasn't just him. They know that there was more to it than this. So when they start asking him all these questions about missing bones and, you know, evidence that's related to the crime scene and like and he's not giving the right answers, or he's not giving any answers whatsoever, then
it's like he didn't know.
Yeah, it's like he didn't know what was going on. It's like he only knew part of it. Yeah, so that led them to believe that there was somebody else involved doing things that he wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the just small details that they say, that what he was saying wasn't marrying up. So, and like I say, everything he said came out with a no comment answer.
Right.
And all signs were pointing that someone else was involved.
It had to be his missus.
It had to be Rosemary West.
Yeah.
And you know what?
It was.
Well, pretend, maybe we'll find out. We will find out, won't we?
We will.
Next time on the second part of the West Murders.
Yeah.
Sounds like we chugged our way through that one. Yeah. I mean, we don't really do like true crime stuff, but yeah, we thought we'd have good crime. We've done a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think like the next one into the depth of it.
This is the depth. I mean, this is just the Cromwell Street from the spark of the investigation, right?
Yeah, because I was struggling because I've got information, but I can't say till next week.
I could see you were burning to get it out. And it's one of those things where it's like, because we're doing a two-part deep dive, you know, we need to kind of hold up.
Control it.
I'd like to say I've learned quite a bit, to be honest, because I knew about these two.
We have literally just scratched the surface. When you get into this, mate, when you kind of find out the motives and the reasons why.
We thought it was only going to be a one part.
Oh, yeah. When I started looking into the Fred and Rosemary West thing, I was naive to the true scale
the
of it all.
Of it, yeah.
Now, it was more to do with the fact that you kind of led to believe, and even in articles you find now, that it was just the 12 murders, and that is the case when it comes to the address.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's more, way more to it, and like I say, next week we're gonna go bang deep into it, and we're gonna dig it all up.
And I gotta say, there were six in the basement and three in the backyard, and we'll tell you why next week.
Well, I'll come because
I'll tell
you
why next week.
Well, we already know that there was 12.
Yeah.
Right. But that's 12 in the they took up six.
They took six from the inside and three from the backyard.
Well, that's only nine.
Yeah. There's three yet to come.
Oh, right.
And I already know what you're going to say.
Well, the victims, you had...
Well, we discussed that when we were...
Well, I can tell you some of the victims now, like, and I can go through a bit of the kind of the what was going on. So you got Linda Gough, found, was the first sexually molested, killed by the West. She moved into Cromwell Street in April 1973 after having an affair with several lodgers. The Wests later claimed that she'd been asked to leave after hitting one of their children, basically they tried to say likely cause of death was strangulation in 1973. Okay. Her dismembered body was buried in the pit beneath the garden in Cromwell Street. So that was just like the kind of under the stairwell.
Yeah.
Right. She was like the third body to be found. Then there was Carol Ann Cooper. Carol was murdered in November 1973, just age 15. On the night of November 9th, she was allowed to spend the night at her grandmother's house before a doctor's appointment the next morning. She attended the appointment and then met her boyfriend before somehow ending up in Cromwell Street. Her body was found more than 20 years later, buried in the cellar of Cromwell Street.
Then Fred wasn't her boyfriend, was he?
Oh, who knows? Lucy Partington, 21 years old. She was a medieval English student at Exeter University. She returned home for Christmas in December 1973. She left her friend's house in a rush to get the bus from Cheltenham on the 27th of December. And it was believed that she was abducted from this bus stop, which is... again, links to next week's episode.
Yeah.
She was found more than 20 years later, dismembered body in the cellar on Cromwell Street. So, I mean, the list goes on. I mean, there's just some of them. Shirley Hubbard, 15 years old at the time of her death. And then you had Teresa, Shirley Robinson. This was her first victim buried in outside the house. Robinson, after their affair with Fred West. In 1977, she was pregnant with West's child. It was initially claimed that she'd moved to Scotland with the baby, but she was then found in the garden. When questioning Rosemary West herself about with her pregnant daughter Tara at the time of the murder, she claimed that she'd not remember her at all. Oh, there you go. We kicked it off with a grim one.
Well, yeah, that is true. And there's yet to grim to come.
After a while, the decomposing, wouldn't the fucker start to smell?
Not if they're buried. In bags.
Well, no, because one of the pathologists actually turned round and he said there was a point where they were digging a hole and there was a bit of a burst main as well. Yeah, like a water main had burst. Yeah. So when they were kind of trying to exude any remains, there was this pit of like rotten human remains as well as sewage, and he said it stunk. He said he just couldn't cope with it.
But he's used to dead bodies.
But that was where he needed to be, and that's actually when he found the second body, because up until then they were only looking for one.
Yeah.
And they found another leg bone or another pelvis or something that indicated that there was more than one. Do you know, they found a double.
Yeah.
Got swapsies.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fucking crazy episode, but, we're going there with the murder this month, so, yeah. Any shout-outs this week?
Shout-outs? No, I haven't, actually.
Have you not?
No.
I've got a fair few. Got shout-out to Dave at Podcoin, which is the founder of Podcoin. We were talking about that platform earlier.
You alright, Dave?
Only 3 months old. And growing every day. If you want to get on there, that's the podcast platform.
Yeah, listen,
give
get
you,
on there.
Give you coins and
give
credits.
Give them support. Yeah, because we were talking about that
credits
before,
for
on
listening.
The credits, yeah.
So, yeah, check them out. Then there's someone wants to hear this podcast, or someone wants to hear that podcast. Give them a listen. Now, telling the pizza guy this earlier.
Yeah.
Now, that came from a tweet from the Angry Old Man Pod.
Angry Old Man Pod.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So guys on Twitter who do a podcast called the Angry Old Man Podcast.
Okay.
They tweeted this, which I thought was hilarious, so I've got to give them a shout out. And especially because we do a Domino's every week before we record.
We do.
So we've got... This tweet says, we're living in a day and age that your pizza will get here before the police do if you need them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what is their advice to you is if you're getting robbed, call Domino's. So yeah, give them a shout out.
Yeah.
And then I want to give a shout out to Robin Slim on their internet radio show.
Ah.
And
Gibby. Gibby.
Yeah. In their Twitter or her Twitter handle is the real Appy Sharma.
You alright there, girl?
Yeah.
Go on, Gibby.
She says aliens. Hashtag aliens are real.
Yeah, yeah.
Find the aliens.
My kind of girl.
Find the aliens. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Also got a shout out to Mikey, Jay, Taylor, myself, all of our listeners, because you're all fucking awesome, and you wouldn't be here if you wasn't.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
That's true.
So yeah, big shout outs to everybody.
Yeah.
Show some love. Yeah. That's pretty much it for this episode.
I believe so.
Just do a bit of the exit stuff. So basically, if you want to get in touch, if you've got a question,
you
want to send us a news story or anything that you've heard, anything interesting, then you can send us that on neverstraightanswer@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can hit us up on Twitter.
You can.
Where we're always about.
We are.
I'm always on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can always talk to us.
You're on a Twitter man.
I'm a Twitter fiend.
you are.
I'm a tweeter. Yeah.
Thanks, sweetie.
You get us on there, I'll DM you straight back. No drama there. On that, so on NASA_never, or you can get us on Instagram.
Yeah.
@neverstraightanswer on Instagram.
Yeah.
We're on virtually all the podcast platforms going.
Facebook as well.
We're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're on all the podcast platforms like Anchor FM, Castbox, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube.
Everywhere, man. We're everywhere.
Castbox.
We need to go even further.
TuneIn Radio, iHeart Radio. Like I said earlier, Podcoin. We're on them all.
We're on them all.
Yeah. So if you wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can find us there.
Or even choose a new one.
If you find a new one, send us, because we're always looking to get on every platform. Going, we're podcast whores.
Yes. Yes. I'm a dirty little homie.
Yeah. So, what else is there?
There's merch. You can go and buy some merch.
Tell them. Tell the people.
Dizzy Jam.
Dizzy Jam. Never
you
a straight answer.
Hats, you can get tops.
You have to show me where they are because I can find them last week.
Oh, I'll show you.
I'll show you.
Be running a competition this week as well, I think.
Yes.
For a mug. If you want to win a mug. All you've got to do
is be a Patreon.
No, there's that competition. We've got two competitions.
Yeah.
We've got a little competition where, I don't know, best iTunes review
this
week. From now till next week, we'll win a Never A Straight Answer mug.
Yeah.
Personal guarantee.
Yeah.
So get on that. If you want to get on Patreon, I'm chucking a book.
Oh, yeah.
We're always glad because, we're running on very low tech.
Yeah, we're running on gas and air at the minute.
And we want to make these things better.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
All goes into it, all goes back into
it. All goes back into it.
If you sign up to Patreon, you're automatically entered into another competition where you can win a big book of conspiracies, a Never A Straight Answer mug, and another little piece that I'm not divulging yet. I'm still not going to tell you. Someone's got to win it first, and then I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
A set of Taylor's Undercrackers.
No,
mine don't go for free, mate.
Taylor's Undercrackers don't come off.
Yeah.
Unless you scrape them off.
Too sticky.
you can get... Mikey, where can they find you?
Twitter. Out and about.
On Twitter. What's your tag?
64 get bit. podcast.
64-bit podcast. Yeah. Get on that.
Starting that back up, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got an episode actually, but every time I go to get a computer and upload it, my mum phones and she's like, I need help with that, so.
So you're busy, man.
He gets pulled away from
he
it.
He does, yeah.
That's right.
But we'll get it out there,
I've got big ideas for it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Well,
yeah.
That's about it for this week's episode of Never a Straight Answer.
It is.
I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
I've been Michael.
Peace.
And Jay's over there.
He's always in the corner asleep.
He is.
Well, there you go. He's always asleep.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's us for tonight, lad. Take care. Peace.
Bye. Out.